last speaker, Brother Steve Cornett. I have from Indianapolis, but he is from Brownsburg, Indiana. He'll preach to us on a subject that a lot of us have battled lately, the subject of church heart.
People lead in authority, whether they know it or not. talking about church authority. It saddens my heart tonight that this subject has caused division among the Lord's churches. At least in my area, it has. And I am saddened by this. It has caused a breach even among some churches and some pastors that are very close by and were very close at some time or another. As I look in the congregation tonight, I see many brothers that I have known for many years back in the so-called Ohio Valley, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio. And back then, the subject of church authority was never a problem. Never a problem. We all believe that one church started another. And everybody knew whom their mother was.
Amen.
I don't have a problem with that.
Amen.
I think that's very, very important. After all, many of us know who our mothers are.
Amen.
Do we not? It seems that this is still another controversy that Satan has marshaled up against Baptists to divide them. But we know that whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever. We know that the quality of perpetuity is promised to the Lord's church, not any particular church in specifics, but the church as an institution.
Amen.
There will be at least one church contending for the faith once for all other than the saints when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And I believe it's our responsibility as pastors and as churches to make sure that we are one of those who are contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That is standing for the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church. So I believe this evening that as we look at this doctrine, the question is just simply this. Does like kind beget like kind? Or do we have the evolution of churches that does not proceed from antecedent life? All churches come or should come from another church, or it's not a church. Now I wish this evening that I could trace my ancestry all back to Adam, but I can't. But one thing I do know about it, I still have his nature. I have the nature of Adam, so I know that I came from the first man because I have inherited his depravity. And that's one thing I'm not proud of, but I have to deal with it. And so do you. So how is this authority, that is church authority, how is it transferred? Does it just come down from above directly to two or three baptized members and they can go out on their own and organize themselves into a church? Or does it come down from the Lord Jesus Christ to one church and those who have scriptural baptism go out under the authority of that church and start a new work and new churches? That is the question. And I believe it must be answered. Now, I love good books. I know Brother Sam loves good books. I know Brother Joe Wilson loves good books because I've seen his library.
I've got most of that now.
I figured you did. When you ought to have. I appreciate good books. Good Baptist history books. And the history books of men, including Baptists, are very important. But they have never been, nor shall there ever be, a textbook in place of the Bible for interpreting the truth of God's Word. This must be the first place we go to. We must go to this book, not some commentary. I don't care who the writer is. Thus saith the Lord is what we need. Thus saith the Lord is what we want. And if God be true, let every man be a liar. And I believe what Baptists practice in the New Testament should be what Baptists practice today. When God gave the tabernacle to Moses to be built. He told him not to deviate from it whatsoever. Whatsoever. For no reason. But to build it exactly according to the pattern that he addressed. Every New Testament church must be organized according to the pattern of the New Testament, beloved, and that's what stands today. Even in the Lord Jesus Christ's time, authority was questioned. The rulers here mentioned and the leaders of the temple, they did believe in authority. And that proposed the questions to our Lord, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? I think those are great questions that need to be answered according to the Word of God. Now when we think about the word authority, we want to learn some things quickly about it in general. A good definition is the power or right given from God to another individual or a people collectively. The people collectively are the church. A body of baptized believers gathered together in one place under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to carry out His great commission. Boy, I'd like to encourage you today. Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I like that, beloved. That's an encouragement to us that He's promised to be with us. Means the right, or the liberty, or the power, or the authority are delegated influence. It's used many ways in the Word of God. That says 11 minutes and 25 seconds. You know, beloved, God gives sinners the power or the ability to believe in Christ and become the sons of God. John 1, 12, and 13. God gave Christ all authority and judgment, John 5, verse 27. Christ has the authority to give eternal life to whomsoever He will, or as many as the Father has given Him. Even the very power to deliver up Christ to the cross. I love what Christ said to Pilate. He said, I'm not in your hands, but you're in mine. You know, beloved, everyone's in the hands of Christ. Everyone's in the hands of God. He's not in anybody's hands. He told Pilate that the people that have any power have not been given to him from above. All power comes down from God. God has given us liberating power or authority in delivering men from darkness to light. Acts 26:13, Colossians 1:13. All earthly monarchs and governments derive their authority from God. Romans 13, verses 1 to 3. We go on. We see church authority carried out through the discipline of unfaithful members in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, 4, and 5. But this evening, our subject is church authority. Church authority. All authority comes from God. First of all, let's look at God's vertical authority. Turn to Matthew 28. Now certainly we know that the Lord's church doesn't have all authority. But I do believe that we have all ecclesiastical authority. We have the authority to baptize. We have authority to preach the gospel. We have authority to make disciples. We have authority to teach them to observe all things. Now here we come to Matthew chapter 28. Notice the words go ye. This is Christ delegating authority not to the 11 apostles alone, right? Or else when John died at the close of the first century, the authority ended. This delegated authority is to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is to the church that He started in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And He said, beloved, that the church about it that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So Baptist didn't come from the Reformation. Because who could bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Can't be done, can't be done. So here we come in verse 18, and Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, all power, exousia, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the authority of Christ is unbounded. Now, what did Christ mean when he said, all authority is given unto me, and go ye therefore? Here I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his church the authority to do three things. And in church authority, these three things cannot be divided or separated. They all must be taken together. Right? The authority to preach the gospel. Make disciples, that's the church's job. It pleased God, brother Fulish, for preaching the same thing that believe. Have not ashamed for the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek. So we have authority to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet that sounds. We know that this commission is given to the Lord's church. We know when the Lord started his church, he said some of the church first apostles. If there were not a church, then how could he set the apostles in the church? There had to be a church started by Christ and set the apostles in it. So the commission was given to them as members of the Lord's church. That's the authority, the delegated authority that Christ gave to his church. So we see then that the Lord's church has authority, and the authority is to do three things, and that is to preach the gospel and baptize, or make disciples of them to the church, and teach them whatsoever things I have commanded them, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. You cannot divorce that condition from itself. What I mean by that, you can't have someone baptized outside the body of Christ. You can't do it. So the authority is threefold in the commission. Is it not? Threefold. Now, if you will compare Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20 with Acts chapter 2, verse 47 and 48, you'll see the same three things. Let's look. You say, well, why am I getting to this point? The point is, when the church came to Jerusalem, the already existing church, they didn't deviate from this pattern. Making disciples, baptizing those disciples, adding them to the church, and teaching them to observe all things what Christ commanded. It's the same pattern. Look at Acts 2. I'm not used to 30 minutes, but I better get used to it. Look at people at verse 41, I should say. Then they that gladly received his word. Though you go all the world to preach the gospel, the word is the prior verses about Peter preaching about Christ, verse 22, etc. Is it not? That's the word, beloved. The gospel of God's amazing grace. Now, they were baptized. You know, they didn't want to translate that version, did they? But we all know that's what it means. It means to plunge up as immersed. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, we have the preached gospel, we have baptism, but they didn't quit. They didn't just say, you go on your merry way. They didn't just say, you go to the church of your choice. Did they? Notice what the scripture says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. That's the apostles' doctrine. The faith once for all delivered to the saints that we still love and preach and stand for today. So we see that this authority comes down from Christ and is given to his church. But the authority doesn't stop there. Earlier in the book of Acts, we see that the authority is carried out in choosing someone to replace Judas. We see church authority in that, do we not? We come over to Acts chapter 8. And there's a work down there where Philip's doing and the work's thriving. The gospel's preaching because the saints were persecuted in Jerusalem, Acts 8, 1 and 2. And souls are being saved. But then the Lord's church sends down Peter and John. Right? They go down there and they check that work out. And I was amazingly encouraged from my position. And I was reading Dr. Gill, and he said they went down there and organized them into a church state. Not a state church, though, like you know, using the word in reference to Catholicism or, you know, some of the Church of God, etc., those false organizations. But we see it then. Then we come down and we see Barnabas goes down to Antioch. Let's turn over there. Turn people over here to Acts. Look at verse 22. You go to a lot of the verses. The tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Boy, I like this next statement. Read this next statement. That he should go as far as Antioch. He didn't go out with the church authority. He didn't go out freelancing. He went out under the authority of the church to evangelize and check the work in a certain area. Just as we send missionaries out today to a certain area. And they report back, as we'll see later on, that work. You know what happens? He goes down and he gets Paul and Saul of Tarsus. Paul, he comes back with him, he helps him in the work. And the next thing you know, the Bible says in verse 26, the last part, and it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, beloved, it's just not accidental that he goes down there and now there's a church. Because I believe he went out under the authority of the church and organized this church here into a New Testament Baptist church. Well, that's what I believe. If you don't, may God give you the grace to see it one day. As he has us. Well, here we see this authority being carried out. Now, let's look at the church of Antioch continuing here. Look at Acts chapter 13. Here we see the church of Antioch delegating horizontal authority, sending out missionaries to organize churches and to preach the gospel. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, etc. You see who they are. And they look at verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they, those that were in the church, had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. I believe the church sent them away. These men were in the church, the Bible says. They didn't just have some kind of baptism and go out on their own and do this work. They were in the church. They went out into the authority of the church to propagate the gospel and to establish other churches. That's what they did. I don't say give up, maybe that's some lie. If vertical authority is only as good, and these two men were not needed to be in any church, they just went out on their own. They had baptism, did they not? Gotta have more than that. You gotta have the authority from the Lord's church. Well, we look further than this. You say, well, how do you know churches were established? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, after they had done the mission work, they confirmed souls. Told them through much tribulation they should enter the kingdom. Now look at verse 23. And when they had ordained elders in every church. Beloved, you don't ordain elders in churches unless churches are established. You don't need them. You don't need it. But you do need elders in every church to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command them. And so I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The only way this great commission, which is to be called, can be carried out, is for these elders to be in every church, for the work of the ministry, etc. And you can see Ephesians 4, 11, through verse 16. They do make the whole body, when they're jointly fit together to carry out the Lord's work. Now, there's some other things. Look at verse 26. And there were themselves in Antioch, where they had been recommended or commended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. What was the work? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe all things. That's why they were down in Antioch for a whole year, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So here they get the report. And I believe today, beloved, that missionaries ought to give a report to the church that sends them out and to the church that's important about the works that are being done. I believe that. I know sometimes missionaries are so, they may not do it every month, but they ought to send at least some kind of report to show what's being done. We all know this, beloved. As we even are here as witnesses, helping people about Christ, only God can give the increase. Well, if I could give it, I would. But I've had a few of my converts, they didn't turn out too well. So how do I know they went under the authority of the church? They went back to the same church in Antioch. Verse 27, and when they were come and they gathered the church together, there goes the universal invisible church. And here we see a church gathered together.
Amen.
They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. And there they were for a long time with the disciples. The same as missionaries do today. All right, quickly, I have about 5 minutes left. Why does church practice biblical authority and establish the churches? First of all, it glorifies Christ. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church, world without end. There's no end to that. And what better way to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ than establishing churches the biblical way? One church starting another church. I sure would want to do it any other way, would you? The very fact that Christ receives glory in his kind of church world without end reveals two great truths, church perpetuity and church authority. How is this glory assured to glory in the Lord's church? By passing the authority on to another church, assures that the Lord's church is perpetuated in the world, is God glorified, and God gives the glory when things are done according to his word in decency and in order. Secondly, it guards the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Aren't these church ordinances? Paul told the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, keep the ordinances, as I have delivered them unto you. The only way they can be done and carried out is according to the word of God. One church already established, going out, baptizing disciples. Missionaries going out under the authority of the church, baptizing those disciples and organizing them into the church. And then those churches that are in fellowship can come to the Lord's table and observe the Lord's supper. It follows the New Testament pattern according to the Word of God. John the Baptist prepared the material for which Christ would start his church. It wasn't some disorganized mass, or it wasn't something spontaneous generation. John was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light according to the Word of God. In closing this evening, I kind of got to that kind of course. I want to look at the errors of self-constitution. Number one, it weakens the Great Commission. It weakens it. It says you can have somebody that's baptized and yet not a member of the church. Beloved, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Acts chapter 2, verse 27 says that those that are baptized are added to the church. I believe that. I'm not going to do any baptisms down in sovereign grace where they have somebody for a church, and I won't make Brother Sam is, and I won't make any of you pastors here tonight. Baptism adds them to the church study. It weakens church authority and discipline. We are to discipline those that are unruly and those that will not follow the truths of God's word for various reasons spelled out in the word of God. I cannot believe that any Baptist church or pastor would use Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Turn that if you will. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Is that church authority? Yes. Yes. It's not church authority to establish a church, but it is church authority in case. maturity, not the discipline of the church. That's what it is to love. Do we not? Another error of that is this. It weakens the interpretation of God's word. 1 Peter 1:20, knowing this verse that no prophecy of the scripture is any power interpretation. I can't pull Matthew 18:20 out of its context, beloved. There's a line up one line and a precept upon precept of those verses if you look at them. There's continuity there. There's somebody going to a brother that's offended me. There's somebody taking somebody with me. And finally, there's the church bringing action. That's a church already in existence. You know, we jump on the devil as we take Acts 2:38 out of context only. We jump on the Mormons for taking 1 Corinthians 15:26 out of context, being baptized for the dead. So God help us not to take Matthew 18:20 out of context and teach the self-constitution of the church that does not and has not taught that gospel. Last of all, another error that is, it weakens our church covenant declaration of faith. Look at Luke 1:1. I'm only about 50 seconds. Luke 1:1.
You've got about 10 seconds.
Luke 1:1 says we ought to believe the covenant declaration of faith. Those things will surely speak among us, right? And then, we have a declaration of faith. We have a church covenant that says, when we dismiss our, when we leave this church here, we'll join another church. And I'll tell you more. We don't get a letter to put our